Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point today is one of the best people that I know, a great personality with extreme talent at that, Brendan DeVinny. Brendan DeVinny and I went to high school together. I call him DeVinny. It's a last name thing. I don't know. It is what it is. DeVinny, how are you? Thanks for being here.
Good, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm excited to chat with you and to hear what you have to say about things.
For sure. I think that DeVinny thing just comes from my dad having worked at Ignatius, and that name just floats around the school. So I think that was easy for everyone. So
it's so true.
You're not
it's
the
so
only true. Not the only one.
I was gonna say, I feel like everyone in our class, so we were in the same class. Everyone in our class, I think, called you DeVinny. Like, I don't know if Brendan was ever thrown around. Yeah. So
every
funny.
Once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. On a spare day. Well, so Brendan, give us a little bit of a background on who you are and kind of what you're up to, and walk us through who you are.
Yeah, well, I'm living in Cincinnati, so south of Cleveland in Ohio, and I've been here for about going on 9-10 months now, working at St. Xavier High School, which is a sister school from Ignatius. The communications coordinator here, that keeps me extremely busy running our social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, even TikTok, which is fun, and helping out with athletics, any chance I can get, any major event here, we have, I hear, and I'm there, and I cover it, with photography, video. So that it keeps me pretty busy. Anything that the students are doing here, I'm involved and I'm in the know. So
yeah, wow.
I've been here for about a year. Came from Tampa, Florida. I was working at a Division II university, St. Leo. Very small, only not a lot of people have heard of it. But in Tampa, Florida, so you couldn't beat that. It's nice just to get a year in Florida. I tell people it's almost like a fifth year of college, given how much fun it was down there. Any Friday or Saturday night off, we were having some fun.
That's awesome.
So Florida was awesome, but just not a place that you settle down for the majority of your life. So back home here in Ohio and close to the family, and I'm enjoying Cincinnati.
Good. Dude, that's great. Yeah, thanks for that overview. I love that. Okay, so when we were in high school, you were involved in the broadcasting community and just did an outstanding job calling games and really leading, being one of the forefront leaders of that charge. And I love hearing that it's transpired into what you're doing now and that it's such a staple point. Walk us through some of those preliminary days and maybe how you knew that fast forward, the future Brendan DeVinny would be using those skills and still practicing the broadcasting, sports, social media presence world.
Yeah. Early days in high school, getting kind of associated with the SIBN is what we called it, the St. Ignatius Broadcast Network. It's a staple there at Ignatius. They cover so many things. But getting started with it, it was tough. And when you're an introvert doing kind of an extroverted, position, and career, it takes a lot out of you, just cause you have to break yourself open, allow people to, kind of get to know you and communicate. SIBN was kind of main thing in high school that kind of allowed me to break out of my shell. I always told people like, yeah, I'm an introvert, but once I put the headset on, I'm an extrovert. So it's kind of like you're flipping the switch almost when you're broadcasting games. And it was tough as a freshman and a sophomore just because, as you know, at Ignatius is such a big school. And it was tough just being an introvert at a school that has 1,400 boys. putting your voice on something that everyone's going to hear, not just they're on campus, but the whole country and even the world. So the first couple of years were tough, but once you got into junior year, which I think was the most fun year as far as athletics is concerned for me, I just fell in love with it, and I made it my own, and is definitely the reason of why I am here today. So
that's incredible. Yeah. So when I referred to you earlier as wickedly talented, that's what strikes me the most is, so as Brendan's saying here, he's always been a quiet, solemn presence. Like I would say you have like a more quiet, solemn, reserved, polite presence. And when you would broadcast the games, it was Kevin Harlan, right? It was Kevin Harlan, like that energy, that flair, that big, the pop, the bang that Kevin Harlan has. And that is what I found. I find that captivating. I find that incredibly impressive because it's not, I'm not saying it's an act, but it's like you are performing. That's what it is. It's a performance and it's done well.
Yeah. I mean, you know how many actors and actresses are introverts, but then they have to play an extrovert on screen. I feel like that was kind of my thing in high school. I remember like at my, it was our junior year, the San Ignatius basketball game, and our good friend Matt Davitt hit a buzzer beater.
Incredible.
Against Ed's the force overtime, if you remember that game.
I do, we banked it.
And I just like out of nowhere screamed off the top of my lungs, just said whatever was off the top of my head, and it went all over social media. It made the Max Preps website, and just thinking back on that now, like that's me, like kind of no one knows my face, but like they're gonna hear my voice, and it's going everywhere.
That's so awesome.
If it weren't for the SIVN, that probably is not gonna happen. So
yeah
you're right. It was definitely like nerve wracking,
sure,
putting my voice out there and actually, as you say, acting at times. There were times like I was just, you know, anxiety was set in and you're nervous about like what are going other people going to think. And, but again, once the game is just going, you allow yourself to have fun. And, I'm grateful for like a school like Ignatius to give me that kind of opportunity and trust. So, it was, yeah, you hit the nail on the head of where I was at those 4 years for sure.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's good. I know that there was a certain camaraderie that came along with it too, right? There's a certain camaraderie of having 1,400 young men in one building, striving to be better and grow, and dare I call it a brotherhood. For all our listeners that might lose their minds over that, but it surely is a brotherhood. And I think those that have experienced it would agree, but more definitely. To that, the SIBN and the sports athletics world was very much so intermingled. And there was a certain brotherhood and just innate respect there that I thought was incredible too.
Definitely. I would, you know, go out to the football practices, junior, senior year when we were broadcasting football, and just the availability that those guys would give me to get to know them, especially underclassmen and upperclassmen, you know, that weren't our class. Mm-hmm. Like Mark Lubinsky, get to know him, Darian Kennard, a couple notable names from Nation's football lore.
For sure.
To be able to get to know them and relay their stories. Just the access that athletics would give the SIBN. I always say, like, you know, baseball, for me, I had the most access because you're going on trips with them all the time. I went to Florida with the team, which was an incredible experience. Traveling with them, you kind of learn what the school is all about. Athletics is all about. The coaches were always phenomenal. Coach Kyle, Coach Becker at the time for basketball, Coach Gaynor, Yeah, you know, they allow you into their families, kind of, and you form, you know, a brotherhood. Can keep on saying that,
yeah.
But brotherhood and friendships that, you know, when we go to our reunions, we're going to be able to, you know, reminisce on, and, you know, remember that Florida trip, remember that state championship. It was always, you know, memories that I can look back on and I'm grateful that I have.
That's so perfectly said. Yeah, that's incredible, Davini. There have to be certain moments that stand out to you, right? There have to be certain things, kind of like you mentioned, like that Matt Davitt buzzer beater, which again was an incredible shot. I vividly remember that as well. Are there other moments in your calling career that stand out to you?
There are definitely a few. Being able to broadcast from First Energy Stadium, our senior year when Ignatius played St. Ed's, and just crushed them. They blew out
That game
St.
was
Ed's.
great.
That game was awesome. We were actually in the same booth that Jim Donovan broadcast from.
So freaking awesome.
We didn't put it together at the time, but like the Browns had a game the next day. So like we were there that night, less than 24 hours from Donovan was gonna be in there. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That whole senior season for football was pretty incredible. There are definitely a couple of other basketball games. When we play at the Wolfstein Center at Cleveland State, our junior year, again, beat St. Ed's for the district championship. Unfortunately, it was a loss, but the regional championship against Garfield Heights.
That game was insane.
Double overtime.
Berger hit those two. Yep.
Two half court buzzer beaters. I was just like, what is going on? And I was also live tweeting that game, and my fingers just could not stay focused because I'm just nervous the whole time. Unfortunately, that game did not end up the way we wanted to. Same with the state championship in football.
Yeah.
Down it's just crazy that I'm working at St. Xavier now.
Full circle moment there.
It was a full circle moment. That again, that game is just like unbelievable. Baseball had some moments as well, but that's what Ignatius gives you when it comes to sports. And they, you know, classic after classic, every sport, every season is going to have a game that will go down in history. There's too many to choose from, but those are some notable ones for sure.
No, those are so great. Those are so great. I remember all of those as well. That game against Ed's at Wolstein, and then of course the one where you talked about with Davitt, and oh my gosh, the one where Ryan Berger hit those two shots. The one was from like three quarters court, other free throw line. Like, dang,
he was injured that game too.
I remember that.
The game prior against Solon, I think he may have like twisted his ankle, and he was getting iced on it during the game against Garfield Heights. He had ice on it when he was on the bench and just wasn't 100%, but still somehow made those shots. And I think those were the only 2 3-pointers we had that entire game.
Are you serious?
Jeez, man. It was a classic at Barnburner for sure.
Yeah, that was such a good game. And so you had that call. My gosh. Yeah, you've gotten to call at some really cool places with that being said too. Like you said, Brown Stadium, you said the Wolfstein. Those are awesome too.
We've been in Progressive Field.
Progressive.
We got the Quicken Loans Arena once, or Rock and Mortgage Fieldhouse now. For basketball. Where else? Ohio Stadium.
Yeah.
Huntington Park for baseball, the Final Four down there. So when you're Ignatius again, like you get some pretty sick opportunities.
For sure.
You wouldn't get going to just some random high school.
And two things with that. So I want to touch on the faith component of it, but first I want to hear what skill do you think that you advanced the most while at Ignatius? And perhaps that's through the SIBN practice and experience, or maybe it's not. Maybe it was in, I don't know, another class or whatever. But what do you think was the most advanced skill that you developed throughout your time?
Being able to show initiative and don't hold back and don't let people come to you with opportunities. Go and make opportunities for yourself. I had to do that a number of times. Because originally, like when you're in the SIBN, you have to audition and freshman year, and you have to actually like call fake plays, and they'll either tell you like you're good or you're not. And when I auditioned, like they came with me and said no. But I somehow worked my way in. I said, like, well, what else can I do? Like, if I'm not going to broadcast, what else can I do?
Yeah.
Kind of did some social media, did some like writing for the website. Come freshman year, baseball season, I somehow hopped onto a broadcast and nice. Started broadcasting. And that was like just the moment. I think I just said, like, well, can I do this? Like, do you need someone to fill in that game? They said, yeah. And just like, it was that moment that kind of clicked and allowed me to have other opportunities. And you also had to do that through a number of situations and scenarios. There's a lot of personalities at Ignatius, but you cannot let that hold you back. And when it comes to working with the staff and the coaches, I mean, picture me trying to interview Coach Kyle. It is a nerve-wracking thing, but you just have to go in and ask, like, Coach, do you have like 10 minutes of your time? I can interview you for the game this weekend. Like, as a junior in high school, that's tough. Just worrying about what he's going to say, but we all know Coach Kyle is the nicest guy ever, so he's going to say yes to a student, right? But that's what the SIBN taught me. Like, you just have to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that, and that's allowed me to have some pretty amazing opportunities in college and beyond. That's just the one thing I learned, that you just have to, even with other teams there as well, going up to the athletic department, is there a spot on the bus this weekend to travel to Columbus for a baseball game? Just to doing it yourself, because in life, not everyone's going to just hand you opportunities. You got to go for it.
Got to go for it. Dude, yeah, you rock that. You put yourself out there and you go for it and you take the initiative. Those are such concrete things, all within the same realm. And
yeah,
I could see that, right? I mean, it's when you talk about being an introvert and working your way to be extroverted on stage, when you're out there performing, when you are in the box, in the booth, making the calls, like that's what it takes. It takes some of that initiative, and it takes the confidence that comes along with putting yourself out there and reaping results.
For sure. I think you can see that just from the alumni we have in the SIBN. John Fanta, Mike Watts, Brendan Golick are the noble ones that some people might know of. They've done that.
Totally.
Just seeing John Fanta work in the March Madness tournament right now. You know, I saw him interview Bill Murray on court after UConn made the Final Four. You know, he just walked up to Bill Murray and said, "Hey, Bill, can I interview you for like 2 minutes?" That's the kind of stuff that in broadcasting and sports journalism you have to be able to do. So I've been able to grow in that kind of arena and excel.
It's incredible. It's so good. And Fans is such a good model for that. You're spot on.
He really is. Yeah.
Now, to kind of twist it a little bit, another staple of Ignatius is the faith component, that Catholic, Jesuit, servile nature. What role does that play in your life, and how do you see it transpiring in your career and in who you are?
Yeah, faith, my Christianity has got me through a lot, and allowed me to get through Ignatius. That was also something that I was able to have a lot of opportunities with on campus. Masses and prayer services that I was able to get involved with, liturgical music there, the Paul Bear Ministry, something I believe we both did.
And so good.
That is not every school has that. So my faith has gotten me through a lot. Ignatius was the cornerstone for it. I think if you go to a Jesuit school, so where I'm working now, so you get immersed into it, and it hits you hard. Especially, and I think a lot of guys who graduate from Ignatius, I don't think it really hits them until they graduate and they're into the real world and they're into college, because it's just, they're just immersed in it in high school. Right. Once you graduate, once you're living real world experiences, that's where I think the faith comes back and allows you to take it a little more seriously. This past couple of years out of college have not been easy, and I've been able to fall back on my faith and really read the Word of God and kind of take it more seriously. I think we all just take it for granted in high school. Maybe fall back a little in college, kind of lose it a little bit. But I think after you graduate and you realize how important it is to get you through some hard times and challenges. For me, particularly, that has been so overwhelming for me. Just to be able to go to Mass every weekend at Xavier University. I go to Mass on their campus, and it's beautiful.
Nice.
Another Jesuit institution. I think that is something that Jesuit schools do so well. Faith is so important for me, getting me through a lot.
Yeah. You know, it's cool because faith is one of those things that is ever consistent, even if it's not being used. It's stagnant in the sense of, stagnance has a negative connotation, but all I mean is that it is consistent, that it's always there. It's inevitable. And whether or not it is chosen to be used is always up for debate, but it beckons what you're saying, that when the time comes, you can choose it anytime that is. And for you, if it's boom, I'm going every Sunday, I'm hitting Mass, which you and I both, we share in that, I love doing that too. It's fruitful, right? It's fruitful every week. But then also those times where it's like, maybe you're falling off the wagon, maybe you're not feeling like you're on top of it, maybe you need to stop away, whatever the case may be, you find yourself returning to that. And it was never gone. It was still there. It just wasn't being tapped into. Right.
Yeah. You never lose it. You know,
no. You
might not always be able to go back to a job. You might not always be able to go back to a relationship, a friendship. You can always go back to your faith. Like, it is always there. You might lose it for a little bit, but there are some moments where, for some people, like, God's going to call you back. He's going to hit you with something that screams to you, okay, like, yeah, I need my relationship with God more important now than ever.
Yeah.
And that's going to stay with you forever. I've had a few instances with that, and it's so overwhelming. And, you know, I journal every day. Every morning and every night, and I wake up before I go to bed. It's like a daily kairos. You and I both know that word. It allows me to have a good day. It allows me to reflect on that day and go forward and, you know, make tomorrow even better. And that's all through God. he helps me through that. And like we to circle back and talk about Ignatius, you know, they St. Ignatius does a really good job of inviting everyone to experience that.
Yeah, so true. Man, everything you're saying, I'm just like, yes, yes, I want to emulate it. It's incredible. It's all good. It's gorgeous. When looking at it, you mentioned that there were some times that were maybe trialing for you and you fell back on it. Are there any that come to mind that you want to share about and explain, basically give your witness? Like, I don't know what, you know, I don't know, and it's up to you, but if you feel called, I would love to hear a story or two and walk us down that road a little bit, because it really is that, it being our faith really is that component of life that is how we, dare I say again, get most fulfilled.
I think it was close to maybe a year ago now. I was living the life down in Tampa, trying to find myself down there. First year out of college, first full-time job. And long story short, like, my job working in college athletics, it became extremely overwhelming, and you know, I was working my butt off for a department that got shrunk halfway through, went from 5 people down to just 2 people, and that was tough in and of itself. Had some positives, but socially also, I was kind of figuring out that Florida is just not for me. There's a certain type of people who go down to Florida and enjoy it and say, like, all right, yep, this is definitely where I'm going to live the rest of my life, when they're like 24, 25. That was just, you know, not the case. And I just couldn't take it anymore. Like, I knew I had to get out. And there was just a couple nights where I kind of just lost myself, and I had been applying to a few jobs. This was around like April, and I didn't see a way out, didn't see any hope, until one morning, driving to work, kind of just already dreading that day. And I pull in and I get a call from Cincinnati area code. And that morning I get an interview with St. Xavier High School, and the rest is history. And there's no other way of saying this, like, that was God working in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I had totally forgotten that that I applied for St. X. And just that night before, I was just like, this is going to be the rest of my life. I'm going to hate this job, and I'm just going to like lose myself, and there's no way out. But like, God, you know, God drew me out of that situation.
Yeah.
And me, it was like, Brendan, like, this, I know this isn't for you, but I've got you. So,
dude, Davini, it's always on that cusp.
Right.
I'm sorry.
It definitely is. No, you're good. Like, it's always God working in the craziest of moments, for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how it's always at the time when you're on that breaking point. You're at that breaking point where, like, you were like, God, I don't know if I'm making it through this next day. Like, I'm going to walk out of here. I'm going to hurt somebody and walk out of here and blow up, right? It's just make a tirade. And instead, before that happens, quite literally, you're in the premise of where you're going to be going in and dreading. And you get the call that totally reverts that and twists everything on its head, gives you the 180 that you're looking for, and calls you back home. And I think that phrasing and that reality is so ever true, that God's always calling us back home. And home is where he is. Like, home is where God is. And a lot of people think and see that with their family, you know, and a lot of people think and see that when they fall in love with what they're doing, when they're at St. Xavier High School and feeling like they're really thriving and growing and developing. It's cool.
Yeah, and definitely Moment I'll never forget, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. My goodness. Wow. Okay. So great. So you have this faith foundation built at Ignatius, and then it establishes, and then it comes back. Now it's St. X. Do you have any interactions with it now there? Do you play a role with the faith formation part of St. X?
It is definitely, it's taking on a different look. I'm not as involved with, ministry here. I'll help out with retreats every once in a while. We just had an Emmaus retreat for freshmen. It's kind of, a Jesuit institution thing, where freshmen will spend 3 days all on campus. They stay overnight on campus. Something that I know Ignatius is going to try and do next year, but I had a hand in that. Had a little help with that and kind of saw firsthand how Jesuit spirituality is seeping into the students here. It's all around you at Jesuit High School. Seems that your definitely allows you to open up and not be, afraid to spread your faith. I wasn't able to really do that at my job in Florida, even though it was at a Catholic university. Being able to, tweet out a quote from Pope Francis or a scripture on our social media is definitely a little more fruitful and exciting and fulfilling. Just being able to spread the good word that we're doing here and the good works, service projects, masses and retreats. It's working here is definitely more stimulating, and gives you some purpose.
Takes me back to that famous Chico Coach Kyle quote, right? Like to say that faith has nothing to do with it would be, I think it's absurd is the word that he uses, but something to that effect, like that idea that faith is the forefront, that it's the catalyzer that makes it all go.
For sure. They definitely allow you to have a good understanding of what we're doing here, the purpose of why you're working at a Jesuit institution. If you don't, then the rest of your work is not going to live up to the hype that they want it to. And something that's interesting that all Jesuit schools do is take you through like an Ignatian formation. And that's 5 years, your first 5 years at that school. Every month, you're kind of going through a class and learn about the history of the school, Ignatian pedagogy, the history of the Jesuits, all that kind of stuff. Just to know like why are we here, why is St. Xavier in Cincinnati, and like you said, there's always a backbone to why we're doing what we're doing. So
do you have any advice for someone who do you have any faith advice for anybody? Let's just leave it bland or broad, I should say.
Faith advice. You got to put in the work to allow your faith to be one, what you want it to look like, but more importantly, what God wants it to look like for you. You got to put in the work because he'll only do so much, but you have to meet him halfway.
How do you know what he wants it to look like?
You allow him to take control of your life. There's so many things that we picture for ourselves like a life that we think we want.
Mm-hmm.
When I was going to Florida, I thought that that was what I wanted. Like Tampa, nightlife, sports.
Yeah, this is it, baby.
What else can you want? Like that is going to be awesome. I'm going to meet my wife down there. But it wasn't. And I allowed him to take me out of that situation, and I allowed him to have control of everything that has fallen into place for me. And but to go along with what I was saying before, you also have to like put in the work and pray to him every day so that he does make a life for you.
Nice. Yeah. Is that kind of part of what your journaling is? Is it part of that? Is that part of your prayer every day?
Yeah. Yeah. What are you grateful for today? Three things you're grateful for. What are you praying for? Where are you seeing God work in your life? And something that you've taken out of scripture that is going to be meaningful for you. So,
killer.
Yeah, that, yeah, it's awesome.
Divini, I'd be amiss if I didn't mention what you had started with really when we first opened this pod, and that is that your dad works at Ignatius, worked and works, continues to work at Ignatius. He was a staple. He is a staple. He was always involved with, like, when we were there, he was in campus ministry and still is. And he, I think, can single-handedly say that he has influence people's faiths for the better by absolutely by the thousands, and that is tremendous. Like, that's a great feat that he has there. He's a very humble man, and I think people should look up and do look up to Ed DeVinny. He's stellar. So what was it like, well, kind of knowing A, that you were probably going to go to Ignatius, but also B, going there and being with your dad and having him being such a again staple at the school?
Yeah, that's not something that a lot of people get to say, that they drove to school every day with their parent and went to school where you just walk into your dad's office. I haven't actually asked them about, like, so you probably influenced a ton of, like, thousands and thousands of kids, right? Like, what is that like?
Literally.
I don't know what he would say to that, honestly.
So how long have you been there?
I feel like 25 years now.
Yeah, 25. That's, wow. First of all, cool that it's this year that's 25. But so you figure 25 at 400 a class. I mean, there you go.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I think he would probably say, like, I'm just doing my job. He probably doesn't think about that every day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, last year he just received the Father Welsh Award, which is the highest award you can receive as a faculty staff member at Ignatius. It's probably a long time coming,
for sure.
But so well deserved.
And tell us what that is, Divini.
I mean, off the top of my head, I just think it's award, like, recognizes so many years of service and recognizes every little thing that they've done. Like, you can't just work there 25 years, go to your classroom, teach, and leave. You're not, I don't think you're going to receive the award for that. Everything else he has done outside of his job description, he's been a chaplain for basketball, volleyball, bowling, all those teams. He's put together Running with the Cats, which is a student organization there that runs with children with disabilities. I had my hand in that a little bit as well. He's also organized the yearbook every year, believe it or not. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
Started the yearbook.
Wow.
Which
that's
is
an
a lot.
Undertaking.
It's a lot of work.
Dude, I did the yearbook for my school this year, and it, like, oh my gosh, the amount of, so many hours, and it's so particular. Yeah. Anyway, so yes, I get it.
I've had to help him with that quite a bit. There's probably things I'm just not remembering. But yeah, he's had a hand in quite a bit of everything. Now they made him the director this year, so very well deserving. But being a son of him,
mm-hmm.
You hear things, which is pretty cool. that not every student gets to hear
True
on the
enough.
car ride home. Hear some inside stories. It's pretty fun. So I wouldn't trade those 4 years for anything.
Oh, God, amen to that. Amen to that. Man. That's awesome. I had to
He's
ask you
awesome.
about it. Yeah, he is. Yeah, I had to ask you about it. I feel like he probably played a big role in your faith too, eh?
Oh, definitely. And still to this day, just able to call him every day, and I mean, we have so many similarities. We really on pretty much everything, and the faith, and the fact that faith is one of those, it's pretty remarkable. And to have his knowledge affect me, it's pretty fruitful.
Yeah, that's awesome. My gosh. Now, where do you see, as we kind of look forward to the future here, where do you see yourself progressing? You're at Xanax, you're loving it, you're coming up on that year mark. Where do you see things going? Where do you want them to go? What's your guess as to where God takes you?
Oh man. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm still working on a master's right now. Yeah, this year has just kind of been a complete undertaking of getting my foot settled in the door here at St. X and learning everything about the school, and how things are done here. But I would definitely, my job isn't fully so focused on sports right now. It's sports and then everything else as well. I would like to get back into just sports, focus on athletics somewhere. It'd be pretty remarkable if that were Ignatius.
Oh my God,
Get
you want to talk about a real full
back
circle
working
moment?
there.
Yeah.
That would be something, but yeah, I definitely want to get back into the athletic department.
Okay.
Being in charge of athletics and game day events is something that it just becomes easy to me, and that would be wherever that might be, is where I want to get to. So
And why sports? Why has it always been sports? Why sports now, and why has it always been sports for you?
why has all this been sports? There's just something, the fact that it brings everyone together, and there's so many storylines that go with it. I'm just thinking back to some of the athletes that Ignatius, going through struggles and hard times. Man, I don't know. I think it also just is one of the few things that everyone can agree on. 2023, it's hard to get everyone on the same page about anything, but
Yeah.
when it comes to, I think, sports and music, I think those are the two things that, you be on the left, be on the right, we can all still be a fan of Cavs.
Yeah, right, for sure.
That is, that's something I think is beautiful about sports, that is always going to be there. It's hard to divide fan bases, because we're all, going for the same thing. We all want to
Right.
see our teams succeed and win, no matter what. So I don't know. I think there's something beautiful about sports.
There is. Yeah, you're right. It's totally this communal bringing together and this charge for this common goal, and takes dedication. And ultimately, I think they're fun. Like, I think they're fun. I think there's nothing more. I mean, it's so exhilarating. And the moments are.
There's nothing better than going to a packed stadium, especially high school athletics. There's nothing better than going to Byers Field
Dude, Friday
for a
Night Lights,
rivalry
right? You
game.
can't beat that.
I think it's taken up even a notch down here in Cincinnati. High school football in Cincinnati is pretty crazy. Down here, same with basketball, packed gymnasiums, where you're just trying to squeeze in for a good spot.
How cool. Yeah, how cool.
But for me, it's always exhilarating being not in the stands, being at the score table, being in the press box. There's something extra exciting about that. You aren't able to show as, you know, as much emotion, but it's you still get the same feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a special talent that you have there. So you're using it. And anytime we get to use our talents is when we feel most alive.
For sure. As
we kind of wind down here, Brendan, I have a couple questions that are part of my litany, basically. And the first one is, do you have any regrets at any point?
I mean, it's hard to say no. I think we all have regrets.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear your AirPod.
Yeah. I think it died. Yeah. Regrets. There's some relationships that I guess would be regretful, but those are what you're always able to learn from.
Dude, always.
Sure. In college, especially.
Oh, God.
Don't know what you're doing in college. So a couple of relationships in college, I would regret. Other than that, I think in my time at Ignatius, I didn't fully get out of Ignatius of what some people might have.
Okay.
I think you see some alumni immediately succeed after graduating from Ignatius, and it's because they you know, just did everything possible there and learned as much as they could. I think it took me a while to fully grasp that. And so there's some high school years that I probably could have done a little more. So,
well, hey man, we're all on our own timeline, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm with you, right? Like, it's, you look back at times in your life when you maybe don't feel like you took the most out of a situation or didn't take it to its full advantage, but ultimately you have to wonder what you're learning, looking back in hindsight, and maybe that's the lesson we needed more or something to that effect. I hear you. I totally hear you.
But also realize it now. Yeah. Then, you know, just never, then it'll let it, you know, hit you and hurt you forever. So,
oh, yeah. If you hold that in, you'll just be miserable. The resentment will grow towards yourself or toward that situation, towards that thing that you feel like you didn't take the complete advantage of, didn't take the most that you could have out of it.
Definitely. Definitely.
I like the focus that you have and the real approach to recognizing that, hey man, we all have regrets, and a lot of people are unwilling to say that they have regrets because of the idea that, well, yeah, of course I've learned from them, so it's hard to say that I regret it. And I agree with that, but also I agree with you where, like, how would you not have regrets, right? I mean, if you make 1,001 decisions a day, how could you not have regrets? Ultimately,
no one's perfect.
Yeah,
at all.
Yeah, 100%. You touched on this question earlier a little bit too when you were talking about your journaling, but another contention of mine is that people who live gratefully and place gratitude on the front lines of their lives, that it is the most, or one of the most important facets, are also the most joyous. So people who are grateful are more joyful, have better lives, just point blank. You talked about the gratitude journaling and those prompts that you use, essentially like three things you're grateful for, and then like also the biblical focus on it and the scripture that drives you for the day or looks back at it in hindsight. What role otherwise does gratitude play in your life?
I think when it comes to gratitude, I think it's not something everyone every day just thinks about. There's sometimes where You have to sit, reflect, and look back on who has gone through your life. Mm-hmm. They may not be there anymore, but they made a huge impact on your life. And you wouldn't be where you are at now without them. They played a major role in your life. You're going to be grateful for that. Might be, you know, upset that they're not in your life anymore, but I think relationships, you talk about like romantic relationships, I'm pretty grateful that I've gone through those struggles and I've been able to learn from them and come out a better man for them. Be grateful for like the hardships and struggles in your life, because God put them in place at that timeline and moment of time to get you to where you're at now.
My God. Yeah. Everyone rewind that for like a minute and a half and just listen back to what Brendan just said. That was stellar. I'm serious. Like,
No, I mean, just like, I'm sure you're going to go along with that. You know, jobs that you've hated, you're where you're at now because of them. There's so many things that happen in your life that you've probably just like thought, why me? Like, yeah, this is happening to me for a reason. The world hates me. God hates me. It's just all part of your story and your timeline. I look back on a lot of things. People who have crossed my path, mentors I've had in my life. One who sadly passed away back in October, but my biggest mentor in college, I would not have gone down to Florida without him, and have not mastered my craft and become a better person without him. So I'm grateful for him.
Yeah. Sorry for your loss there, man.
Yeah, no, it was tough for a lot of people in that community, but Lenny Reich was his name. Just there's so many things that I think we take for granted, that we hate, that we don't want to have happened in our lives, that we just assume is going to be there every day, that we're not grateful for. And we need to pray about those things and accept them in our lives. And like I said, been grateful for that.
So. Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it. It's, man, I really strike with that idea of like people come and go and opportunities come and go. And it's all the more reason, like, you don't want to be looking in the rearview mirror saying, wow, I blew that shot. You don't want to be looking in the rearview mirror saying, I wasn't grateful enough. Or you don't want to be looking in the rearview mirror and saying, man, this mentor meant a lot to me. And now that he's gone, I see it.
Right. Yeah. There's jobs that I wanted that I didn't get. You know, interviews that you go on that like immediately are like, okay, this isn't for me. You kind of learn something about yourself for that. Like, I interviewed for a few jobs down in Florida, trying to get out of Florida, but ultimately realized, okay, this really isn't for me now.
Yeah. My gosh.
There was something about that experience.
So wise, Brendan. So wise. You take great lessons out of things and are appreciative for the life in them, because there's so much to it. And life, it doesn't mean
you only get one life.
Tribulations.
Right.
Yeah. And if you do it right, once is enough, eh?
Definitely.
That's what they say. So my last question to you, Brendan, is open-ended. It's, do you have any advice or anything that you want to close with? You could direct this to a specific audience, to a single person, to your future self, to me, to whomever you want. Do you have anything that you basically was on your heart or on your mind?
Any advice? Like,
sure. Just,
I don't know. I'm just pretty grateful, like, that I'm at a point in my life where you're going to go through, like, especially the first couple of years out of college, you may get it right, and great for you, but some people like myself, it's going to take a while. And something that's very Ignatian is, you know, discerning your life.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be patient with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I've had to learn pretty through the hard way, I guess. You got to be patient with yourself because
it takes time, man.
You expect to get it right out of graduating college, and if you expect to get the perfect job out of college, then you're probably not going to. And so you just got to be patient with yourself and allow God to just walk you through life. Keep him there by your side and get to the place where he wants you to. It's going to be tough. Like, it's going to be a long road. And I'm kind of going through that right now. I'm experiencing that.
Yeah.
People are going to come and go out of your life that you probably want them to stay. You know, you're going to date someone who you thought was going to be the perfect person. Like, you're going to meet them and immediately think that you're going to marry them, but nope. Like, it may not be that good.
So
you got to be patient with yourself. You cannot jump the gun. Like, just don't assume in life. Because if you assume in life and if you just expect the best thing to happen to you, you're going to be in for a rude awakening. And you're going to lose sight of yourself, lose sight of where God wants you to be, and put yourself in a position that it's going to be tough to get out of. So be patient with yourself and don't take any day for granted.
Yeah, be patient with yourself and don't take any day for granted. I think if we all live by those words, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right because it's going to come with faith. It's going to come with joy. It's going to come with appreciation for the moment and the wisdom to introspect and to look back and to reflect and find ways to see the glimmers of light and the trials and the tough times, man. And if that's not the key to it all, right?
Definitely. Like, you're going to go through a lot of crap, but if you're always going to dwell on that and look back on that and assume like it's going to happen again, like, it will, because you're not taking something from that experience and learning from it and also letting it go. Like,
yeah, you just can't
dwell on this relationship not working and assuming like my life's kind of sucked the rest of my life. Like, there's something else there out there for you.
Yeah. So, man, well, I'll tell you what, you're gonna have to hop on here for Brendan Divinity 2.0, man. I gotta hear about these relationship stories. You've got some good wisdom, it sounds like, from them.
Maybe not in detail, but yeah, for sure.
Well, Brendan, I'll tell you what, man, this has been a great conversation. I love hearing about the broadcasting world, the sports world, what you're doing, the faith component of all of it that just is the glue that binds it all together and is interwoven throughout each thing that you have done, from the tough times to the great times. It's been in there and it's been a focal point. So I can't thank you enough for coming on and opening up your heart and sharing your thoughts and your disposition and your demeanor and your mindsets toward things. I'm infatuated with people's mindsets. That's why I do this. So you've been nothing but a pleasure, and I can't thank you enough again for taking your time to join the Chats with Clark podcast.
Joe, thanks for having me. You're doing great. You're killing it with this. And
thank you.
Hope to see other Wildcats on here too.
Dude, absolutely. And that's a beautiful segue to this component of the show where I tell all of you to please hit that subscribe button, and that if you want to be featured on the show, you want to hear specific content, or you just want to pop in and say hello, email me at chatswithclark@gmail.com. You could find me on social media at Clark12Joe or at chatswithclark on Instagram. And I will have all of Brendan's social media linked in the description below if you're on the podcast, or it will be in the pinned comment on YouTube. As I say every single time, YouTube still hates me and doesn't let me put it in its own description, which, whatever, YouTube, whatever. Hopefully I get off their blocked list or whatever the issue is there soon enough. But again, this has been another episode of Chats with Clark. Brennan Devinney, you've gifted me and all this audience with a wonderful conversation. I thank you for your presence. And this is your host, Joe Clark, signing off. Thanks for tuning in.